is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Okay, Floyd, I want to paint you a picture.
Paint away.
The 2018 Tennessee Titans hire a new coach, which we all know is inevitable. They will hire a new coach, and the new coach comes in, and the Titans have a decent team. They have some new draft picks. Corey Davis plays a little bit better. Mariota proves he's still a legitimate starting quarterback in this league. And the final record is 7-9 and out of the playoffs. Or the final record is 6-10 and out of the playoffs. The team's not necessarily that much worse. At least they don't look worse. But they're 6-10 and out of the playoffs. Some of these games where they found a way to win at the end, they just don't find a way to win next year. And they're out of the playoffs. After having made the playoffs this year and letting the coach go, would that automatically make 2018 a failure if they don't make the playoffs? And are they setting up the next coach to fail by bringing him in with a team that honestly is probably not a second-round caliber team right now?
Well, I mean, we know that the team overachieved this year, whether you consider it luck or good fortune or playing good or, you know, in any way you want to cut it. I mean, I think we would all agree that, generally speaking, this is an 8-8 team. And so if you went into next year and really played well, that is very sound football, very smart. Marcus got better. You saw dramatic improvement in the passing game. But you didn't win. You didn't make the playoffs. I think they'd probably be okay. I think if you go out and play horribly and not make the playoffs, then I think they're not going to be happy.
Well, like, especially if they lose some dumb games. You know, like, I'm okay, you know, looking at next year's schedule, right? Like, if you lose to the Eagles, the Patriots, the Jags once, the Texans once, the Chargers in London, and I don't know who else. And then all of a sudden, you don't make the playoffs. Okay. But if you lose to, like, the Redskins and the Giants and those teams next year, the Dolphins, like the teams that look on your schedule like they're not very good, then I think people would be really upset.
Probably.
See, the thing is, I feel like people are going to be upset if you don't make the playoffs no matter what, because they're going to approach it from the angle that, and I'm going to try to not approach it this way, but I see myself inevitably approaching it this way, but I'm going to have a hard time if this team doesn't make the playoffs and say they go 6-10 or go 7-9, I'm going to have a hard time saying, hey, Mike Mularkey never went 7-9. Mike Mularkey never went 6-10. This team never even came close to going 6-10 with Mike Mularkey as coach. It's going to be really hard for me not to say that. I mean, and then, say you get a new coach, say Mike Vrabel comes in or Steve Wilks comes in or whoever, and Steve Wilks comes in, there will be that honeymoon period at the start, but then you go 6-10 coming off of a 9-7 season in which you were promised that, hey, we're bringing in a new coach to get to maximize the players to get them better, and then you lose more games. Because at the root of this, I think the fans care about a lot of different things, but it's a lot easier to complain about the stats when you're 9-7 in the playoffs. It's very hard to complain about the stats when you're 6-10. You're just upset that you're not winning more games. And that will be the argument next year. People will say, well, wait a minute. Last year we were winning, and now we're not. And I almost feel like you're setting up one of these new coaches to come in here and fail. You said yesterday that any first-year coach you bring in, it's going to be a step back, like McDaniel's first time in Denver, as compared to...
Yeah, I mean, anybody you bring in that has not had head coaching experience, there's a learning curve. So, you know, however you want to explain that, however dramatic you think it is, however, you know, slight you think it is, there's something there. But again, I think it depends. You know, if you go out and you're playing good and you lose to the New Englands and you lose to those kind of guys, again, I don't think they're expecting, I mean, us to win a bunch of those kind of games. Now, if you can play good and put up really good numbers and you see the young quarterback come along and you're excited about that and you know, you're losing but you're still playing well, then I think they're going to be okay with it, because I think they'll be able to look at it and say, okay, when we get a better schedule or easier schedule or whatever it is, you know, we'll have a chance to pop out of this. But if you go in there and you're just playing awful football, just ugly, bad football, then I'm sure they'll be, up in arms.
Yeah, this is not good. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, this is not a good situation for the next coach. I mean, what if the next coach comes in, loses to the Eagles, loses to the Patriots, loses to the Jags twice, loses to the Texans, now you're at 5 losses, and then you throw in a they're never good against the Chargers, and, you know, the Jets, the Eagle, or the Redskins, the Ravens, like the teams on that schedule. I mean, it's going to be hard now to sell this fan base, because I know the fans pretend to care about stats, but you've said this over and over again. You can't listen to the fans. You can't say, well, the fans don't like the stats of the quarterback, so we need to fire the coach. You can't do that.
Well, I mean, just listening to that, just reading those off, I mean, it sounds like the schedule's going to be a lot harder than it was last year.
I'm not sure that's true, though.
And that's not including the division. I mean, you're going to have a championship, an AFC championship team in the division. You're going to have a team that, you know, with a young quarterback, looks like they may be a house on fire. And then you're going to have Luck back.
So that's really setting up a new coach for failure.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm not sure, you know, I mean, I think if you look at the schedule and you go, oh, I mean, regardless of who the coach is, that's a tough schedule. I mean, that would have been tough.
I don't think the schedule's that tough, though. I mean, the Patriots and the Eagles are, you know, for sure losses. But other than that, you know, the Jets, the Redskins, the Ravens, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Chargers, and then your division. I mean, I'm not really all that worried about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not very worried about the Redskins. I'm not very worried about the Bills or the Dolphins.
Why would you not be worried about the Cowboys?
Because the Cowboys have no secondary, and their coach is stupid, and their owner is stupid, and, you know, as much as everyone complains about Marcus regressing here, what happened to Dak this year? So, ain't worried about the Cowboys.
That team won 12 games last year.
How many games did they win this year?
9. Same as us?
I think they went 8-8, but I don't know.
Were they 8-8?
I don't think it was 9, but
I don't know either.
I mean, Dallas was at times really crummy this year.
Well, yeah, they lose arguably their best player.
So then let's hope that he gets in trouble again this offseason.
That'd be nice.
I'm just saying, but you can lose to the Cowboys, and then you have 3 losses. And so, like, you know, I will try next year to not get on the new coach if he comes in and goes 6-10.
Yeah, I can.
With the line of Mike Mularkey never went 6-10, but it's going to be really hard for me.
Yeah, let me tell you right now, you will be unsuccessful in this bid.
That's because I think Mike was a good coach.
You'll have no chance.
I mean, isn't at the end of the day, though, this about winning and losing?
And the part that's amazing is whoever this guy comes, we could have Vince Lombardi come in, and you're going to be down on him.
Not if Vince Lombardi wins.
We'll see.
Which, over time, Vince Lombardi has proven to be very good at.
Cowboys did have 9 wins.
That's what I thought.
They'll be fine. They'll beat the Cowboys. By the way, I kind of want to go to that game at Jerry World. I've never been there before. I think I might have to go. I'm going to London next year. That is for sure. All right, 615-737-1025. We'll get to the calls next because we haven't really gotten to them much today. We'll get to your calls. Plus, now the question being, if the Titans are worse in 2018, don't make the playoffs, and maybe a 6-10 or a 7-9 record, will you be down on the new coach? I am going to try to not be down on the new coach, but it's going to be very difficult considering, again, the last guy did not ever go 6-10. Hey, you know what I'm proud of? I'm not proud of my team right now, but I am proud of my clothes. Why? Because they're made in America. And you, if you're a business owner, can be proud of your clothes and the clothes your employees wear with Authentically American. Authentically American is so American, their website where you can go is authenticallyamerican.us. That's right, authenticallyamerican.us. Authentically American is a veteran-owned company, and they are passionate about creating jobs and making the best branded apparel you can find. If you're a business owner, you want that high-quality product that is made in America, and your employees will be proud to wear. Outfit your employees with Authentically American. High-quality tees, polos, hats, jackets, Oxfords, vests, and much, much more made in the USA. Whether you have five employees or you're a Fortune 500 company, Authentically American has you covered. They have low to no minimums so the small business owner can support made in the USA. Be proud of what you wear. Be proud of what your employees are wearing. Again, Authentically American, so American, it's AuthenticallyAmerican.us. That's AuthenticallyAmerican.us. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, the game.
I don't think there's literally a set bar. Again, I think it's the path of the team and the direction of the team and utilization of the, you know, the players. And I think that's really what we're looking for.
So if you're not happy with the direction of the team right now and making the change, what is the issue with the current direction of the team?
I think it's it boils down to consistency. That's on a week in and week out basis, moving forward, showing progress in all three phases of the game.
Going to be hard for John Robinson to say that they're showing progress if they don't make the playoffs this year after they made the playoffs last year. Like, I know that that's not a fair thing to say because football's so fickle. Like, 9-7 next year might not get you in the playoffs. It didn't get you in the playoffs 2 years ago, but it got you in the playoffs this season. So, but it's going to be hard to tell me that the team is progressing if they go 7-9 and miss the playoffs.
Well, I mean, what if they go 9-7 and miss the playoffs?
It'll be easier, but it still will be hard for me to accept.
What if they win 10 and don't go to the playoffs?
Then you can make the argument. Then you have a legitimate argument. But I will say, you know, like if you go 5-11 this year, next season, oh boy. I don't know if I'll be able to contain myself from saying Mike Mularkey never went 5-11 with the Titans.
Let me give you a clue. You will not be able to contain.
That's because I'm a Mike Mularkey supporter. Yeah. I am a Mike Mularkey apologist. There, I said it. Phones. Freddie up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for waiting patiently. What's up, Freddie?
How y'all guys doing?
Great.
Good. I'd like to make a comment. Again, I'd like to ask y'all two questions. I look at last year's schedule that we had. It wasn't really a strong schedule. I mean, like Cleveland played as close. They could have beat us. We lost to Arizona. We lost to the 49ers. You don't really know if Jacksonville played all their players in the last game.
They did play all their players.
They did? Okay. And then I look at the playoff game against Kansas City. Now, if Mariota hadn't made that miracle playoff, that reflection, probably something he won't do the rest of his career, we might could have lost that game with Kansas City. But
or they could have gone for it on fourth down, got it, and then, you know, scored the touchdown, and you'd be in the right exact same spot. I mean, you can play that game on both sides. I know what you mean, though.
Right. Okay, but let me ask y'all two questions that I hang up and listen. If you were John Runyon, I know both of these guys is commentating now. Would you go to a Bill Carlyle, Tony Dungy, and sit down and talk to them if they would like to get back into football? That's my number one question. And then my second question, Floyd, Our general managers allowed to go to another NF team and talk to the head coaches about possibly being head coach for another team. I hang up this.
Thanks, Freddie.
Thanks for taking my call. Okay.
Thank you. General managers are allowed to talk to coaches on another team after their season is over. Now, with the playoffs, if you have a bye during the bye week, you're allowed to talk to them. Then you can't talk to them while they're playing until their season is over. And so, there are certain barriers, things that you just can't do. But if you really want to talk to a guy, you can generally speaking get permission and you're able to talk to him.
What about something we haven't talked about sitting head coaches? And that would be a trade for a sitting head coach. Could you see it? Maybe? Possibly?
Nah.
Not at all.
Nah.
Like, not a Sean Payton.
Nah.
Second round pick for Sean Payton.
John Gruden got two firsts and a second.
Yeah, but John Gruden was more in demand. You know, Payton, I feel like it's not at the end of their road.
He was like 500, if that.
Yeah, but Oakland, Al Davis is stingy. Okay, I was just trying to think off the top of my head. The problem with NFL coaching is that you try to think around the league. Like, take the NFC North or the AFC North, for example. Do you really want any of those coaches? Mike Tomlin? No. Hugh Jackson? No. Although Braden Gall loves Hugh Jackson, but no. Marvin Lewis? No. And, you know, John Harbaugh, I would take John Harbaugh, but boy, he did some boneheaded stuff when they played the Titans earlier this year. And I think it's been a little while since they've made the playoffs in Baltimore with John Harbaugh coaching. So, you know, do you want any of those coaches? Do you want any of the coaches in the NFC North? Do you want Mike McCarthy? No. Do you want whoever the Lions are going to hire? Probably not. Do you want, what's the team that usually stinks? Chicago? No. And then, yeah, I think you'd probably take Mike Zimmer. But, like, there's just not that many coaches, but they wouldn't trade you Mike Zimmer. There's just not that many coaches that I think you can trade for that you'd want. What about Mike McCarthy? If you offered the Packers a third-round pick, they'd probably give you Mike McCarthy.
No.
I don't want Mike McCarthy.
No, I mean, they would not. They would never even consider a third round.
New general manager, probably doesn't love McCarthy. We know Rodgers doesn't like McCarthy.
No, I don't even think they consider it.
I don't like McCarthy, so, I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm just throwing that suggestion out there. Kenny is up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, just a few analysis. I watched the Titans play New England, and it looked like they never played football before. I'm sure that's why they made the decision that they made. On defense, linebackers were lost. Linebackers were running like they were, like, at a candy store. And the offense finally got some rhythm, but they had to get out of the running game, which I thought was the key to that thing. And I think it's a paradigm shift and should be in terms of bringing in a lot of more new coaches. Because, Derek, you just named all of those coaches, and you said nada. So to me, it's time to bring in some new coaches. Seattle got a guy out there. Obviously, Houston that we're interested in, I'm assuming. But we probably need to look at the league in general, need to look at bringing in some new coaches. I would like to see an offensive-oriented coach that can sell seats. Somebody that can get Mariota his rhythm and get him working better on position and his feeding.
Kitty, I want to stop you right where you just said. I want an offensive coach who wants to sell seats. Why? Why? Like, is that what this is about, selling seats?
I don't think for John, but for Amy, yes.
I don't care about selling seats. I don't. If you're a Titans fan, like a legitimate fan, don't the fans want all the same thing? Doesn't, like, at the end of the day, every Titans fan, don't you want the same thing? Don't you want the Titans to win the Super Bowl? Like, that's the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah.
We don't have any other goals, right?
Right.
Like, there's no ulterior motives. Like, none of us are the agents for Nike, so we want the Nike players to score more touchdowns, to sell more shoes, to make more money. None of us have any of that tie, right? Mm-hmm. And we're not related to any of the players, so we don't want one player to play better than the other. We just want the team to win, right?
Yes.
Isn't winning the goal? Winning. Wins and losses. So why are the callers calling in saying, I want someone to sell seats?
You have to ask him. I don't know. I mean, you're preaching to me. I got no idea. The guy said seats. I don't know.
I'm telling you, there are a lot of fans that think that way. There are a lot of fans that want this team to look like their team on John Madden football on the Xbox. What's the new Xbox that's out? I don't have one. What is it?
I don't know. I have a PlayStation 4.
Okay, on that one. Is that the newest PlayStation?
I think so.
Okay. They want it to look like John Madden football on the PlayStation 4. That's what they want. They're like, well, then John Madden football, I throw it every play, and we score touchdowns all the time, and that's what I want. Dude, I don't understand how you can say, you know what, I don't care about winning, I care about selling seats. You don't know the team. And even if you own the team, winning equals selling seats. I'd much rather have a winning team than a team that sells seats. Also, to the caller's point, not totally fair to use the New England game as a way to judge this entire coaching staff and everything that they did or didn't do. A lot, New England does that to a lot of teams.
Well, yeah. Although I think the caller before that did have a point, which was we had the easiest schedule in the NFL.
You were the one who kept poo-pooing that every time we said they need to make the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean, he brought up the schedule, and I said, I mean, if you compare whatever it is this year to whatever it's going to be next year, I think you're going to see there'll be a jump. I mean, quite a bit of difference. And I think when you look at, when you, and this is when you're analyzing all these kinds of things, if you're, you know, these are the kind of things you think about. As you're saying, I mean, the division will never be easier than it was this year. Agreed?
Right.
Easiest schedule in the league this year, right?
Right.
And we made it by the skin of our teeth.
I actually think Jacksonville had an easier schedule because they played you and you played them, and that's the difference between the two schedules.
I don't know. But so, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from anybody. I mean, I was happy as anybody when we made the playoffs, so I'm not being negative that way. But I think, you know, if you're trying to compare apples to apples, it is a little bit tougher.
I do think you're flip-flopping, though, because during the season when I kept making all those points, when I got on this coaching staff, when it looked like they weren't going to make the playoffs, you kind of shut me down talking about the easiest schedule and all of that. And last offseason, you spent the whole time talking about how this schedule is going to be way harder than the year before that schedule. And I think now in hindsight, you can say that that's just not true. I mean, this schedule was as easy as it can get. And, you know, we say that. So the same thing you're saying about this upcoming schedule is the same thing you said about the last schedule. And that's why I'm not willing to say right now that this schedule is not easy. Because, look, there's a chance Andrew Luck never comes back. You know, there is a legitimate shot he never comes back and plays again. So I'm not willing to sit there and say, hey, this schedule is for sure going to be harder next year, or schedule is going to be easier, or anything like that. And, I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like you've turned on Mike. I think you're now going to the bag of reasons that people didn't like Mike that you didn't see during his tenure.
I haven't turned on anybody. I mean, I haven't changed from day one. I mean, I like Mike. I've always liked Mike.
Did you think Mike did a good job?
And always supported Mike.
Do you think Mike did a good job?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job.
Let's go to Dan, who's up next on Mike. Thank you for calling. What's up, Dan?
Hey, yeah, I was going to say that, you know, I think Mike Mularkey got fired not because his coaching or things he done, is because it seemed like he wasn't willing to fire some people on the staff. Like, it seemed like he didn't want to get rid of Terry Robiskie and wanted to keep things intact. And I feel like we do need a new offensive coordinator. And then
thank
what about
you,
also
Dan.
John Fox or
thank
Bruce
you,
Arians?
Dan.
But answer the first question. Tell me what y'all think about that.
I think that at the end of the day, if you really wanted to keep your coach, you could have found a way to make it work. That's what I think. I mean, I think this was – I think ultimately they just didn't want Mike.
Dan's got a pretty good take on that.
I mean,
Dan's a smart guy.
I mean, I think everybody thinks that, you know, it's either A or B, but that you can't come to a compromise. And
we need to get Dan in here on the show.
I don't think the Titans were willing to compromise. I just don't think they wanted Mike as coach. At the end of the day, I think John Robinson – didn't think Mike was a good coach. That's what I think. And you can say that that's not true or true or whatever. I mean, if you ask John, he'll never tell you anyways. But I just think that at the end of the day, John did not think Mike was a good enough coach. And I think it's hysterical that the guy who picked apart every little thing that he didn't like about Mike as Mike was coaching is defending Mike. And the guy who covered for Mike on every instance is now kind of throwing Mike under the bus.
I am not throwing Mike under the bus. I am not. Once again, I'll say this one more time.
Hold on, say it when we come back. Can we do that?
No, I want to get it off right now, and then I'm done. Mike made the choice. It was Mike's decision. Mike's decision was... Mike's decision was to keep. Mike's decision was to keep the coaches. And your choice is you get an extension, but you got to make a change in the staff. You say no, guess what happens? You get fired. Now, I don't know how many times I have to explain that to you. I do not know. But that's done. I'm done.
I just feel like if you really wanted to keep him, you would have found a way to make it work. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. Coming up next, Josh McDaniels. I've got a theory. Well, I shouldn't say that because then Floyd will hate it. I've got a thought I want to get to next. It's here in the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's driving this, what led to the timing of this, is that Josh McDaniels is going to get a head coaching job in Indianapolis or New York, one of those two places. And John Robinson, the Titans general manager, knows that if he wants to get a guy, the guy, that he worked with in New England, that he believes could help revive Marcus Mariota's career, he must make a move, and he must make a move now.
That was Adam Schefter on ESPN. So we know the Titans can't make a move to get Josh McDaniels now, and we know the Colts want him, and it looks like the tea leaves are saying that McDaniels might go to the Colts. But by the way, all these insiders, they don't know anything. So for all those guys to come out and say, oh, McDaniels is for sure going to the Colts, again, they don't know anything. And until the name is signed on the contract, Josh McDaniels can always go somewhere else. We saw Bill Belichick resign from the Jets on a cocktail napkin. So it's not like McDaniels is for sure going to go to Indianapolis. But if we know, Floyd, that Indy wants McDaniels, and if John thinks McDaniels is a good coach, could you make the move as soon as this week is over with the bye week before the Super Bowl if you can talk to Josh? Do you make the move then to go get Josh to keep Josh from going to a rival?
Well, it's I don't think they can do that.
So they have to wait until after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think. I think the only way you can interview him in the week before the Super Bowl is if you've already interviewed him during the first bye. And, of course, they didn't do that or didn't do that with my knowledge.
That sounds like a pretty stupid rule, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference between interviewing with Indy and interviewing with the Titans? I mean, you're taking the same amount of time to go interview with the...
Yeah, I don't think it's that. I think it's more along the lines of the guys that really, really wanted him, you know.
They want to give the bad teams a shot at him. Yeah. Them.
So, I mean, I don't know. If you believed all the... This will fit right into your... the bag of tricks. If you believed all the experts,
which I don't, but
that
yes.
In fact they were going to fire Mike way, way back when, after the season, then you would assume that Mike went and interviewed Josh, and Josh knows that he wants him.
Can you interview somebody under the table though?
Can you?
I'm talking about according to the league.
No, it's not legal.
But can you illegally do that? Well, John says, hey, I'm going to go scout. I'm going up to Boston College to go scout. I'm going to Providence College. Does Providence have a football team? I don't think they do. I'm going to Providence College to go scout. You know, they got some basketball players there that might be good tight ends. So I'm going to Providence to go scout and then go sit down with Josh and tell Josh, like, hey, when we lose, I'm going to fire Mike and you're going to be the coach. Could John have talked to Josh on the field in Foxborough?
Oh, sure. I mean, he could have, or they could have had dinner. They could have. I mean, it's not like he needs to interview Josh. You know, I mean, he knows Josh.
Like, if you were in the spot of hiring Josh because you worked on the same personnel side with John in New England,
I would only do what's legal.
But would you? Wow. But would you need to interview Josh before having a good feel as to whether or not you thought Josh could be a head coach?
No.
Do you think Josh would be a good head coach for the Titans?
I don't know.
Yeah, so what? You just told me that you wouldn't need to interview him because you would know. So if you know one way or the other, tell me what you know.
I wouldn't need to interview him. I mean, I don't think. I'm just guessing. Now that's just for John. Now you've got other people that you need to, you know, get okay with over there.
See, I don't think you do. I feel like they've made by firing Mike, who Amy adored, they've made the whatever John says goes, which generally speaking is probably a good idea. But I think that they would be okay if you have to skip the first interview process and maybe even the second interview process. Like McDaniels can wait till the day after the Super Bowl because he has to wait for the day after the Super Bowl anyways, right?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Well, he can talk to the Titans.
Assuming they're in.
So if John likes him, and Indy wants to sign him, and John doesn't need to interview him, then theoretically, John can go to him the day after the Super Bowl, get him in town with Amy. They can make him a contract offer, and then he can either take the Colts offer or the Titans offer. That doesn't seem like it's very difficult to me. One day is not going to end the world if you think Tennessee is a better job than Indianapolis, which I think Tennessee is a better job than Indianapolis. So I don't think this whole, well, it's too far down the road with Indianapolis, I don't think that means jack at this point.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's like everything else. I think it means what you want it to mean. You know, if you want to use that as a reason, then you can say, yeah, you know, it's down the, we've got the language of the contract all set. You know, it's, I've got the contract. All I need to do is sign it. And so now if you say, and again, if in fact he wants the Tennessee job and he goes to Indy and he says, hey, you know, I need to talk to Tennessee, and they go, oh, no, you got to sign it right now. You got to sign it right now. He can say, no, I'm going to go and talk to Tennessee, and I'll be back, you know, kind of.
Because if you really want him as coach, you're not going to pull the offer and not get him if you really want him.
I mean, if he wants to go to Tennessee and Tennessee wants him, I mean, I would have to imagine that it would work. If he's made up his mind that he really wants Indy, then I don't think it will make any difference how much Tennessee wants him, that he's going to go to Indy.
Interesting. Interesting.
But I don't know that.
Would you hire, do you think Josh McDaniels, of all the names that we've thrown out there, Steve Wilks, Mike Vrabel, and his 32nd points allowed defense, and Matt LaFleur, do you think Josh McDaniels would be the best candidate of that group?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I'd have to.
Yes, you do. You do know. Tell us, your audience. You owe it to your audience.
I don't know.
To tell your
guys.
Audience if you think that Josh McDaniels would be a good coach.
I don't know those other guys. I've said Josh is a good coach.
A good head coach.
I've never been around him as a head coach.
But you said earlier today that if you work with him, you know those kind of things. You said John would not need to interview him because John's been around him.
Yeah. But John, now that
you've been around him.
Yeah, but John's never been around him as a head coach either.
So then John would need to interview him. But you said John didn't need to interview him.
What are you going to interview him? What are you going to learn in an interview that you don't already know about a guy that you've worked with for 10 years?
Then you're going to have to make an assumption, aren't you?
Well, again, what would you, because you ask him a question, that solves the problem?
Maybe you get an idea of what they're like as a head coach if you've never worked with them as a head coach, because you can't tell what they're going to be when they're a head coach.
Okay.
So if John doesn't need to ask Josh questions, why does Floyd need to ask Josh questions?
I don't know. I'm not saying. All I'm saying is if you wanted to skip the interview process, and it was that important to get him, I think you could do that.
Would you feel comfortable if you were the GM of the Titans skipping the interview process with Josh?
It depends on how well I think I knew him. I mean, if I was convinced I knew him, probably be okay. If it wasn't, I mean, there are guys that I've worked with that, yes, I would have absolutely no problem. And there are other guys I've worked with that I'd need to sit down.
And there are other guys that you work with that if you were to come in the room and say, what about so-and-so? You'd say, no way.
Yeah,
I ain't hiring Jared Stillman to be the next head coach. But that being said, I want to know, do you think Josh McDaniels would be a good coach of the Titans? Bill Polian was asked on SportsCenter about whether or not McDaniels would be a good head coach.
Yeah, Bill knows more than I do.
But he doesn't know Josh like you do. He didn't work with Josh for 4 years.
What did he say?
We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bill Polian here, who, of course, we know him well from his days with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, there's a lot of good with Josh McDaniels, and there's some not so good, particularly in his years as head coach of the Denver Broncos. So let's put you back in the Colts front office right now. If you're interviewing Josh McDaniels for this job, which they already have once, what's your first question?
Among the first things I would say is, what did you learn from your experience in Denver? And then depending upon his answer, I would follow up. I'd want to know what he saw in Tebow that caused him to take him number one. What was the reason for the dumping of the previous quarterback, Cutler? What went wrong in terms of the really monumental collapse over a period of 2 years? So that's something you have to get a full explanation for. And then as the GM, you have to make your own decision as to what transpired there and what he's learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
No sense glossing it over. You got to go right at it to try and get the a sense of where he was then and where he is now.
That was Bill Polian on SportsCenter this morning. And then Bill Polian was asked the question, Floyd Reese, about Josh McDaniels as to whether or not he would be a great fit for the Colts. Now, you will not give me the yay or nay about whether or not McDaniels will be a good fit for the Titans, even though you actually have more experience with McDaniels than Polian does.
So what did Bill say?
Well, why won't you tell us?
I want to hear what Bill has
Hold
to
on.
Say.
Why won't you just tell us how you feel about McDaniels and the Titans?
I told you Josh is a good coach. I've told you that.
Do you think he'd be a good fit to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, yes or no?
Let's hear what Bill has to say.
No, let's not. Yes or no?
I'm not answering that.
Polian answers. Why won't you answer?
Bill can answer all he wants. That doesn't affect me in the slightest.
Why won't you answer?
It's none of my business.
No. I'm not asking you to answer anymore. I'm over that because you won't answer. But why won't you answer?
It's none of my business.
That is our business. It's talking about these things. You're the expert analyst. We want your analysis. Would he fit in that spot?
I just gave you the analysis. You said, well, how would you sign him? I went through the three things you had to do to either sign him or not sign him.
And I want more analysis, and I want the analysis of your expert background of having worked with Josh as to whether or not you would think Josh would be a good fit as the head coach here.
You're right back to the question you said you weren't going to ask.
Well, I'm asking it.
And I'm giving you the same answer.
And I want to know why you won't answer that for us.
I told you it's none of my business.
But it is our business.
It's none of my business. I don't want to affect. I don't want to influence. I don't want talked about. I don't want. Now, see, you can say anything you want.
At 4 o'clock, I'm giving away who I think should be the next coach of the Titans.
You can say anything you want. Every hour, you can endorse a new guy. And nobody will pay attention. If I do it, it's on ESPN. It's over in their offices. It's wherever. Rolling Stone. Isn't that the last
with
one?
With the Kaepernick thing.
There you go. So, I mean, I don't have the same luxuries you have.
Right. That's why the people tune in, because they want to hear that stuff, because they want to know what you think.
I tell them, I give them everything they need to make a decision on their own.
Because you feel like by saying whether or not Josh would be a good coach, you're endorsing a political candidate is basically how you feel.
Well, I'm not, I don't know how
when
you
they
put
say like so-and-so comes out to endorse who's running for president.
I mean, I think it's going to, it'll be out there. It'll be about. And I don't want, again, it's none of my business. I mean, I want them to hire who they think the best guy is. Whoever that is, whoever John and Amy and whoever's making the decision, whoever they think is the absolute best guy for the Titans, that's what I want them to do.
This is what Bill Polian said on SportsCenter this morning
we are gonna
about
get to
Josh
him.
McDaniels to the Colts.
What's your gut on him as a fit?
Oh, I think he's the right fit. I think he's the right fit almost anywhere. But now you've got Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. You got a rebuilding job to be done on defense, a total rebuild on defense. There's really only two players there that will be featured on a championship team. He comes from a great program in New England, and you hope that he's learned.
So Polian is in.
There you go.
For McDaniels to the Colts.
There you go.
We'll await on Floyd being in or out. But if they do hire Josh McDaniels on the day that they hire him, I don't want to hear. That's a home run move for the Titans.
If I think that, I can say that.
If you think it now, you should say it now. Chad is up next on Josh McDaniels. Thank you for calling. What's up, Chad?
Hey, fellas, to take it one step further with Mr. Polian, the specific question I asked Mr. McDaniels is, what did you do to run off a franchise quarterback at that time that was traded for, three or four number one picks, and you couldn't get him in the building? You couldn't get Tony Scheffler, a second-round draft pick, tight end that was coming off a phenomenal season. He wouldn't come in the – what did you do where you couldn't even get these guys in the building? And at the end of the day, you went from Jay Cutler, pre-diabetes, a three first-round draft pick quarterback, to Kyle Orton.
That's Chad, are you a Broncos fan?
I'm not. I'm actually a Vikings fan.
That's interesting because you sound really mad about some of those Broncos.
Well, it's just I can't. And I'll tell you this one more too. What the follow-up question after that to Mr. McDaniels, what did you do that the Denver Broncos front office and everybody associated with that football team literally threw a party when you were instantly fired? What was it, after 1 year did he make it?
Yeah, I don't think the Titans, and Chad, I appreciate your call. I don't think interrogating Josh McDaniels is what Polian means when he talks about asking him about what happened in Denver. Although this guy makes it sound like a legitimate international interrogation, like when they catch you for espionage. That's what he made it sound like there. That's not what they're going to do. I will say this. The Denver stuff is concerning on McDaniels for sure.
Sure. And it's and I think Bill's absolutely right. You'd have to, before you hired him, if you hadn't had the opportunity to get that all hashed out at some point in time, you would certainly have to get it hashed out.
Jalen's up next on Mike Mularkey. What's up, Jalen?
Yeah, on the firing of Mike Mularkey, I want to say that I think it was a few factors. I don't think it was just as plain and simple as him not wanting to get rid of his offensive coordinators.
I agree.
I think that before the Chiefs game, when the Rappaport information came out, there was some validity to it because it was an ongoing thing for weeks after that up to this point. I think that the reason that he didn't, that we actually didn't get a contract extension to go through with him, is because Mike Mularkey, during that press conference after the Chiefs game, he really made it a point to let everybody know that he didn't feel like he was secure in his position and he didn't feel like he had support from the organization. And I feel like the reason why the contract negotiations fell through is because he felt slighted by how Amy and J-Rob handled that situation. I personally don't like how they handled it. I knew that I like Mike Mularkey, and I feel like an offensive coordinator change was the best thing for the team. But I feel like the way that they handled it kind of rubbed him the wrong way, and that is probably the main thing that contributed to him not going through with the contract extension and they mutually parting ways, more so than anything else that anybody's saying. I know it's
God, Jalen, I love this take. Thank you for the call. Yeah. I love that take because I totally agree with it. I totally agree with the idea that it was more than just fire Robiskie and you get an extension, or don't fire Robiskie and you leave.
What was it?
He just said that it was more than fire the coordinator or you're gone and all of that.
Oh, what was it?
I believe that ultimately it was a power struggle and John won. I mean, I really believe that. If you really like your head coach, you can find a way to keep him. And I just believe that at the end of the day, that John doesn't think Mike is a good enough coach. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, I do have somebody that I would like to see be the next coach of the Titans. And I will tell you who that person is. And I'll say this. Floyd Reese knows him very well. So that is coming up next. Preds fans, do not miss Smashville Live tonight at 10 Roof on Broadway on this week's exclusive Preds Player Show. Cody McLeod and Kyle Turris will join Braden Gall and Hal Gill. Come on out to 10 Roof on Broadway, meet the guys, and have a great time. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.